The Gamer's Haven Snippets Mini Reviews. A quick look at some of the games we play, be it card games, board games, or role-playing games. We just got done playing Atomic Highway from Cubicle 7.
Actually, it's by Radioactive Ape Designs.
Cubicle 7 published it, right.
And as far as I can tell, Radioactive Ape Designs is really just sort of vanity press for this guy, Colin Chapman.
Alrighty then.
He has actually made mention, I've done a little research, and he's made mention that this was basically the game. He's a freelancer, he's done a lot of work in the past. Though I don't know on what. But this was a game that he's wanted to write for a while, and he decided to just do it. Basically, this is full of stuff that he wanted. This is a game that he wanted to play. So this is what he wrote. He released it. He expected it to sell about 5 copies, and it instead went through 2 print runs and
got an award almost.
Yeah. Almost got an Eddie. So. There you go.
What's our overall consensus on this? I liked it.
I enjoyed it. Well, I just need to ask, how much of it did you house rules, and how much was rules from the book? Because I had fun, but I'm just wondering.
A lot of it was rules from the book, but the rules from the book are pretty fast and loose.
It seemed like that.
A lot of it is very much, a lot of it gives you sort of guidelines and then sort of turns you loose.
Okay.
And you made you both made a point how it is hard to get a success on it, a general success in just general. So you have to roll 6.
Yes, but oddly enough, there is a chart in back that talks about the odds of you getting a success with a certain skill and number of dice.
Yeah, with a few skill points.
With a few skill points, yeah, your odds of success go way up.
For most mundane stuff,
one success, you're looking at, to get like one success, you're getting something like, if your attribute is 1 and your skill is 0, well, you know, that goes way down.
It's a different thing to get used to, and it's
an interesting thing to get used to. It's not a bad system once it gets rolling. I think we were sort of taking it in very, cinematic, almost feng shui levels. I mean, so we were needing like 4 or 5 successes. But
well, we haven't played, Gamma World yet, but if the rules are not good, this would be a good Gamma World.
Not anything about the rules on Gamma World. I mean, it's the 4th edition rules, so it's a solid set, but the whole
card. But I mean, just for that type of idea, this was very nice.
Went a little more gonzo than I was really expecting.
It was fun, though.
I'm not saying that's a bad thing. The mutations, what I'm getting at is the mutations are optional. Mm-hmm. Really, what this is, his stated goal was to emulate Road Warrior and Beyond Thunderdome.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And I think it does that.
Yeah.
I think
you can take it so many different ways. It makes a nice apocalypse.
Like you mentioned, you could do Planet of the Apes.
I think the system is a very brutal but still cinematic system.
Well, the damage is...
Well, you don't take great damage very often,
seeing
when you do,
well,
it sets you up.
Those wasps were insane because they had a strength of 7. So every time they were rolling, they had a guaranteed 2 successes.
Yeah.
And then 5 dice on top of that. Anytime they went to parry.
That is kind of brutal.
If they could block, that's why basically the dog wasn't going to bite. It just wasn't going to happen. Because they were starting out at 2 successes.
Right.
And they would have to get total shit in order to not. But they were rough.
I mean, the mutations.
They were rough.
The mutations definitely changed the aspect of the game. Though three of us having them.
The mutations all worked out
fairly well. Like the biggest group of freaks they could find.
Yeah. But that was just because it was a one shot. I mean, if we were playing
to try out the mutations.
Because you could play a more serious version of this where your mutation is very much of a threat.
You could very easily do that.
Yeah, and it would be fine. It would still be Road Warrior, but with kind of a odd
Well, I mean, any of those any of the post-apocalyptic, like the Mega Man type of thing.
For this one, you know? I very intentionally turned the cinematic way up by making sure you guys got a lot of fortune.
Yeah.
Because if people get a steady flow of fortune, it's going to be much more cinematic.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
I think without a steady flow of fortune, it would be really hard to play because if somebody hits you, you die.
Yeah, it would be really brutal.
Yeah,
it would be hard to have a campaign with it otherwise.
Also,
I would really like to see it with Savage Worlds.
Yeah,
I'd like to see it savaged, honestly.
My overall impression, having read the game, and I don't necessarily want my overall impression, having read the game, is he nailed what he was after. I think he nailed it.
Right, for what he wanted.
I like the system. I think it's really elegant. I like the whole dice pool, extra points system. I think it's great. I think
but
it works really, really well.
What's the campaign ability of it?
My complaints. There isn't enough here.
Right.
I get the same feeling reading this book that I got reading 4th edition D&D. I like it. I like what's here. There's not enough of it. There are literally 3 psychic powers in the book.
Hmm.
So if you want psychic powers, that's what's in there.
You get 3.
You get 3 to choose from. There are mutants, and there's like a handful of mutant powers. It's like you get a taste of a lot of things, but you really don't get a full meal.
Well, what it sounded like he was trying to do, though, I kind of understand why the book ended up that way.
Yes.
Yeah.
Because basically
The movies he's trying to emulate don't really have mutants in them.
Right.
Exactly. So, I mean, it seems like he added those as sort of a nod to the genre.
But also, if it took off, he could
do an expansion.
Right.
And he has. He's done an Irradiated Freaks expansion, which adds more mutations and more mutant hybrid things.
Mm-hmm.
But overall, I really like this. I like the vehicle combat. It's very interesting. At least I felt it was interesting.
Interesting when he turns the 18-wheeler on its side, up on half of its wheels.
Up on 9 wheels,
I would definitely play this again.
Yeah.
No, it's entertaining.
There are things that I don't like about it, but those are personal preference kinds of things. I'm not sure that I personally like the whole pay five fate and do pretty much anything. I mean, it's balanced out because anybody can nix it.
Right.
But
including the GM.
Including the GM. Yeah. I can see where that could get to be a point of contention as far as I'm not a big fan of game systems that let people run away with things. It has that level of control in it where someone can veto. But I think that can get, you know, someone can start feeling it like that's getting a little personal. You know, it's like, well, every time I offer something, it gets shot down, or
then
all goes into the group you're playing with.
Yeah, that's your group dynamic.
Mm-hmm.
But I mean, you could just modify it like, what's that Savage Worlds one that we
Suzerain.
Suzerain, because when they spent the Benny, you could alter reality, but it was in a minor way.
Right.
And
this has minor way in the
major way.
Right, but you could, I mean, you could still, I don't know. I see your point, though. It could, depending on the group. But it's a storytelling.
It is a very story-driven game. It was a lot of fun. In all, I liked it.
I don't know if I would not want to play this character as a campaign one at all.
No.
But as a one-shot, it was a lot of fun.
Mm-hmm.
Overall, that's actually what I feel like, is I feel like this is geared towards one-shots and not a long-term game.
Those types where maybe you
have a long-term game would take a lot to put together.
Right. Mm-hmm.
I think so. Yeah.
And you can have a lot of casualties, which causes a lot of issues.
Yeah, when you've got a lot of turnover, that makes it difficult.
It would make a decent game for episodes, though, where you could have another character creation where everybody, again, says, okay, we're building a group, kind of like the A-Team or whatever.
You have the community pool.
Right.
From.
And so you do that, and then you go, hey, we're doing one-shots, but they're episode one-shots.
We're doing an episodic game, and it's like, this is the mission tonight. Which characters are we taking out?
I am definitely going to miss Tucker.
Clamp it,
Tucker.
And I will say that part of me actually enjoys playing Bramble more than Red Talon.
No one here is surprised by that, Chris.
Yes, no one is surprised by that.
yeah. since that was my intention.
Except maybe Rob, and we're not sure why.
Well, yeah, you turned into a freaking bat. I was like,
you started out as a dude, and then you were like bat person.
I had no intention.
Batman.
That was all mutations. Everybody just.
That did the fact that three people went for mutations that really did change the tone pretty.
Yeah.
the tone turned stuff, left right there.
In one shots, why not?
Why not?
Yeah.
I mean, try the psionics. Exactly. Try this mutations.
True.
Try the different. Yep.
Are you going to go for a second one?
Well, yeah.
Yes. Yeah.
Now, in the future, should I run this game, say at CanCon next year, I will probably not have people create characters because that actually went slower than I expected.
Yeah. Well, the character creation is a nice long process, but it's is a short process, but you're talking a short process divided up amongst, you know, five people.
So yeah.
So I mean, if it takes 10 or 15 minutes per person, that's still gonna add up.
Yeah. Well, that was a mistake on my part.
You
could, ended up being,
you know,
like
what would
hours.
Be good for character creation for this though?
Photocopy all the different pursuits.
That would be nice. But that other one, that cooperative one.
The fate method of making a character.
Just for character creation. Well,
we're gonna do
the character creation rules, but the fate.
So, overall, good. Overall thoughts?
It's fun.
I think it's a lot of fun from a GM's perspective. If you like, I think that if you like, you can tone this to be more or less, more cinematic and less brutal pretty easily with the amount of fate chips that you use.
Mm-hmm.
The system is very, very fast and loose, and so prep is actually pretty easy because, frankly, you're kind of making a lot of it up as you go. And there's some good advice in here on kind of guidelines on how to make it up as you go. Overall, I think it was well deserving of being nominated as an Emmy, and I like it.
All right, and player perspective, what does everyone think?
It was fun.
Yeah.
Again, I wouldn't necessarily play a campaign, but you know, episodes or one shots.
Yeah, it's more short term than.
And I felt the learning curve was pretty shallow on it. So
one of the things I was doing, of course, you know, with the 7C stuff, you know, with the D10s and everything, was comparing it to that. And one of the things I like about this is the skill points matter much more in this than they did.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. It actually mattered what skills you had.
Mm-hmm.
But you could probably do the same type of thing.
Seriously thinking about it.
I mean, you could, because I mean,
that's our review, right. Our play review. So.
You've been listening to the Gamers Haven Podcast. Subscribe to the show by visiting our website at gamershavenpodcast.com, where you can also discuss all things gaming in our forum. Drop us an email, or just peruse our episode archives. You can also call us toll-free and leave a message to be played on the show by dialing 1-877-416-1270. That's toll-free, 877-416-1270. On our website, you'll also find our actual play podcasts chronicling our misadventures through all things role-playing. Enjoy what you hear? Why not support the Gamers Haven by purchasing Gamers Haven merchandise, visiting our affiliates, or just by clicking on our donate button? The Gamers Haven podcast is released under a Creative Commons Attribution Non-Commercial, Share Alike 3.0 United States license, some rights reserved. Some music in this podcast is used with permission of Joe Hero Band at joehero.com. This is a Thousand Monkeys production.
This concludes the broadcast from World Control.